to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This episode is the press room from Phoenix Comic Fest with Manu Bennett. A lot of you will know him as Slade Wilson or Deathstroke in the Arrow TV show. The audio is pretty good, but there may be times when there's a lot of ambient noise or background noise. This is really the first year that Phoenix has done press rooms. They're doing a little bit different than everyone else. Rather than the press at kind of some round tables and the people moving around, it's just the celebrity up front with actually the marketing manager was the one asking the questions rather than taking questions from the press. So Kristen Rowan, the marketing manager, is the voice you'll hear asking questions. But it was very enjoyable. Manu is very intelligent, extremely articulate, and very much into the craft of acting. And you'll hear that in his answers. Very, very thoughtful and really makes some sacrifices for his craft. You know, he doesn't – I guess he kind of has an idea, I'll say, of what the character should be like. And despite some other direction, he doesn't necessarily back off of his belief. So very much about the integrity of the craft of acting. So I hope you all enjoy the episode, and we'll talk to you next time.
Welcome, Manu Bennett.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
We're speaking at a certain decibel
yeah,
level.
Yeah, I want to make sure. How is this?
This is a theater. Good? It's a theater
sound
performance.
Sound-wise, yes? Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have Slade Wilson and Freddy Krueger and the whole, like,
right.
This is one of the most unusual but wonderful press conferences I've ever been a part of.
Awesome. It's not often you get to be interviewed by the characters that you've played.
Exactly. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, yeah.
So we are live nice here at Phoenix Comic Fest 2018 in downtown Phoenix. Have you been here before?
Yeah, I came to this convention maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was huge. Well, yeah, it was huge then. It's getting bigger, so I hear. You
know? Getting bigger, yes.
Like 105,000 people.
Yeah. I think we passed 100,000 people in 2016, so It's getting bigger all the time. We're so glad to have you. So we wanted to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, we will open it up to the press here in a few minutes, but wanted to ask you about what's going on the Arrow?
Interesting.
Well, that's fun.
Interesting. Let's put my leg up here then. I no longer have a footrest. It's. Did somebody start a dance party next door to us? Okay, this is the part where everyone dances.
Right?
Well, it sort of goes like this. When I was on Arrow, I could rap it.
You can rap.
It's one of these things where I think, you know, the fan base is really, you know, into the Slade Wilson Arrow, storyline. I mean, it's the kind of the genesis of Oliver Queen becoming the Green Arrow, you know, like the training with Slade. So, you know, we've got this seed that has grown over six series, you know. And at every opportunity, I know that they take a chance of putting another branch onto that tree of the storyline. I think with the film opportunity, that's a great opportunity. That's a great opportunity for Joe Manganiello. You know, it's obviously a character that's sort of sat in the background for a while in the comic book world, but it had so much potential. I mean, as an actor, being able to play the multi-dimensional range of the character, it's like playing a great Shakespearean character. You know, I always looked at the tragedy of Slade as being like Othello,
right?
You know, a kind of a tragic love story that is full of half truths and mistruths, and you know, then he ends up with the ghost of Shadow whispering in his ear like Iago or something, and it drives him crazy. You know, he can't stand the idea of the lie. You know, but for him, it's not a lie. It's kind of like something he's trying to, you know, deal with as the truth.
Right. Do you think Slade Wilson is a good guy or a bad guy? I mean, at heart.
Well, Slade Wilson thinks Slade Wilson is a good guy, you know, so that's the most important thing to play, you know. I mean, an actor always has the choice of playing what they think the audience wants. or playing what you think out of the integrity as an actor to play the emotional range of a character, whether it be light or dark, to find the truth, you know. And and my whole effort with Slade was, if he was in pain, there's a reason for that, and to play that truth, you know. I mean, I remember the moment where the script arrived that I was going to kill Oliver's mother, and I thought, they're going to paint him black and he's going to remain black, and there's going to be no way out of that blackness, and this is where the character will die in the series as far as any integrity of the character. And I was very miffed about it in a certain way, because I thought that, you know, Marv Wolfman's Deathstroke had much more integrity to him than some crazy Mirakuru guy stabbing a guy's mother, you know. And it didn't really make any sense to me that this was the path. But to be honest, if you play something with the conviction, I think where the audience may have found a sense of compassion for Slade was the fact that early on in the series, you know, the friendship between Oliver and Slade was sincere. And it wasn't until certain things happened, and as I say, I thought it was kind of Shakespearean, that you realized that they were being pulled apart because of certain, you know, whether it was Ivar or whatever his name was telling me, oh, you know, that Oliver had a choice, but he chose, you know,
Canary yes.
over Shadow.
Right.
And Slade is like now also got Mirakuru in his blood and kind of like, you know. And so essentially it was a mistake, and it was that kind of a thing. So, and then I remember, you know, playing the moment with the actress who played Oliver's mother, you know, who on the night performed, you know, above and beyond the task. There was a moment I think she turned around, and it wasn't even in the script. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if you say that, it's going to make me even worse. Because she turned around and she said, "Close your eyes, my babies." You know, because she knew this monster was going to skewer her. But at the time, I remember sort of being in this element of this wonderful truth that was being played by Stephen was on the ground. Thea was next to him. You know, they knew they couldn't overcome Slade in that moment. And there was their mother who was offering herself in that moment. Right? And I remember being in that moment and it was kind of like almost like a samurai moment is the way that I envisaged it, was that when you get to a point of where nothing matters but honor, then at this point, you know, this kind of truth becomes about life or death and whatnot, and it's always there in the background of wars and things like this, you know, collateral damage and things that somehow dismiss lives and the importance of lives. There's a moment where that next step is taken. And, you know, I remember saying to her, you know, it's a shame that you are not that your son doesn't have the honor that you have, or something like this. It was a line like this, and it was like I addressed her as in this sort of warrior sense, and then went like this, and kind of it was a. And I thought the next convention that I'm going to go at, women are going to like scream at me, and go like, you know, you are the most evil villain of all villains, right? Because of this situation, and I feared for that actually, but what I didn't at the time invest in was the fact that I knew that the audience had bought Slade earlier than this in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that, like when you read a Shakespeare, when you read an Othello thing, it's not like you're going, oh, we, you know, Othello, how could you kill, you know, that person and Desdemona and all this sort of thing. You know, you think like, what a tragedy, you know. So I was, you know, I think that when the audience saw this happen, you know, and when I did go to my next convention, you know, a woman came up to me and she had this look on her face, and I thought, oh my God, she's going to hit me. You know, and she walked up to my table. She said, "Manu, what you did to Moira was despicable, but I still like Slade." You know, still something. And I think it's just because, you know, like it is that exactly. It's a bit of a tragedy story. And, you know, I think there were moments where they didn't know where the audience's allegiances were and whether they wanted to push it this way or that. So I remember at one episode, like I think it was the final episode of season two, where I was fully fledged Deathstroke fighting Oliver on the roof. And there was a line they changed right at the last minute. And when it popped up in the script, I was like, come on, guys. And it was like, they made me say, you know, it wasn't the Mirakuru that made me hate you. I always hated you. And I always thought that line was a little bit it was inaccurate. You know, you could not give any legitimacy to the original storyline by delivering that line. And I delivered it. And I guess what they wanted was you know, instead of like Oliver being able to accept, Roy Harper and say, Roy, you're still a good person underneath this Mirakuru. You know, he could have said the same thing to Slade. But they wanted to have their definitive bad enemy antagonist and protagonist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they sort of, they made some definitions about that. Now, at the end of the day, I'm always in there as an actor going like, wait up, guys, you know, this and that, and come on, and boom, boom, boom. And, you know, I always try to defend myself in that regard, because I always go for the truth, you know. And you know, the truth seems to miss itself in terms of, like, just the integrity of storyline and telling a story that makes sense, then sort of you bring these things up. But, of course, you know, when you're working on series television especially, you probably won't get away with it in the film, because people will notice the bump in the road. But on television, you know, they're constantly thinking like, well, how can we extrapolate this and make this now? Because we want to go in this direction now, in that direction. Well, then if we're going to go in that direction, we have to make that disappear. You know, so
I think there was an element of it where the fans liked Slade so much and respected the character so much that they needed the fans to not like him and push it a little further to make sure that there was that complete disconnect between Oliver and Slade.
But it didn't happen.
Funnily enough,
it didn't happen.
I know,
because I come to these conventions and I listen to the fans and they kept on going like, come on, love Deathstroke, you know.
They're hoping that there's redemption in the future.
Because as an actor, I can't, you know, to be honest, and it's not an ego thing at all, but I can't help but play the truth, you know. Like and you know, I'm not afraid to throw it all on the line. You know, I often tell people that I only came into this career because, you know, my mother and brother both died when I was 15 in car accidents, you know, and my brother died in my hands. So I know what it is to stare at God and ask the question, you know, and I know what that is, and I know what it is to, you know, stand on a beautiful summer's sunny day and look out of a hospital window and know your mum's dead in a hospital bed. You know what I mean? And these pains of my life are kind of like what I sink into the realities of these characters. You know, and I think as an artist, if you really, you know, take this journey, which last year I went to Greece, and in Greece they have this amphitheater in a place called Epidavros, and it was the very first amphitheater that was ever built, and it was built by these medicine people called the Asklepios, and they built it because they believed that the voice carried signal that was healing, and they tried to project a performance space with good acoustics where someone could sit there and talk to you about philosophy or politics or emotions or whatever, and if it was the right signal, it would help you heal, you know, be a healing mechanism. Of course, the Romans turned the amphitheater into a full circle and started having people kill each other. you know, which is, you know, somewhere between the two lives Hollywood. You know what I mean? And so, you know, as an actor, I truly believe in, you know, because one is that because of my color, I'll also always be stereotyped. You know, not always, but I'll be stereotyped. You know, I've already been in several series where, you know, the blonde-haired, white, good guy, you know, and I'm the guy that might be Mexican or might be, you know, whatever, and be the second guy, and I'll end up trying to steal his girlfriend, and he'll, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous how these archetypal stereotype sort of characters still exist today, changing slowly, but, you know, whenever I'm in these roles, I have the responsibility of, one, playing that stereotype, which usually paints me as not the hero. But if I play it honestly enough, if you play all the layers and you do all this sort of stuff, then somehow it's a healing mechanism as well, even if you're killing somebody's mother. And that's not easy. It's not easy, but you've got to invest all the real tones throughout your whole performance so that when something like that happens, they go like, and even though the producers are pushing to cut the line between good guy and bad guy because we want the hero and then we want, you know, if you've invested enough time in actually playing the truth and playing great underlying, you know, things that that bend anybody, any human being is bendable. You know, Crixus, the role of Crixus. When I woke up in my hospital bed after my mother had died, you know, from this car accident, the person who was standing next to my hospital bed was my worst enemy. The guy who was my enemy from school, right? He was a guy called Matthew Sisley. He had a really mullet haircut and wore like death metal shirts and was really angry all the time. And I had a beautiful mother and, you know, talented father. And I had wore gel in my hair and loved fashion clothing. And, you know, to me, this guy looked at me and I kind of had it all. You know what? I had like stuff going on and I didn't know this, right? But he was just an angry guy, as far as I could see. And I didn't try to find out what was going on or anything like that. It's just that when he walked up to me and he said, "I don't like you," I was like, "Well, I don't like you." Like Spartacus, like Crixus and Spartacus, you know? And when I started playing Spartacus, I had the absolute objective to have the audience hate me, completely hate me. And I played the way that I thought this guy Matthew Sisley was toward me, which was like so in your face, so no terms of understanding, no compassion, offering nothing but hostility. And I played that to Andy Whitfield, you know, I was in his face. And I remember the producers came up and said, "Andy's not really feeling that comfortable anymore with the way that you're attacking him, because it's getting a bit, you know," like they said, "can you tone it down a bit?" And I knew at that moment it was working what I was doing, right? And I didn't tone it down. I made it even more. They sort of did the same with on Arrow a little bit. But at one time the producer came up to me and he said, "Manu, nobody likes Crixus. We're getting letters now from fans saying kill him off." And he said, "You know, in the next episode you're going to meet Navia. We need a love story. Nobody's going to care about this love story because they think you're an asshole." And I said, "Please, let me take them on this journey, please, because I know this story. I know what it's like to hate somebody. And when that hate is shifted over here, that's the biggest transformation that can happen in anybody's life, with anybody you can know. If it's somebody that you hate and you end up loving them because of the healing mechanism, that's what art is always about. I believe that's what art should always be about, is trying to always prove that in the gray matter, you know, we can move mountains as humans, you know." And you know, like, all of a sudden I went from this vicious guy to like having these scenes where Navia was standing on the other side of the bars and I was Crixus, but just, you know, all of a sudden my fingers are going through trying to touch this woman, and then, you know, all the onions started to unpeel, you know. And if anything, this is what I really like about television drama and the characters that I've got to play, because they allow me this long, long time to slowly change and reveal layers of the character and build layers, you know. And I think that when I work with writers and I put in the drama that I put in as an actor, they see it and they know, you know what, we can throw him all the way over there, then we can bring him all the way back over here. Now, what happened recently in Arrow was testament to that, because, you know, I mean, there'd been this sort of mention of you know, me not being happy with the storyline or whatever like this, which, you know, came from a few comments that I made on stage at conventions about, you know, because I really wanted to defend Deathstroke. I thought it was really necessary to defend him as a character. Because now that Joe Manganiello is bringing him to the screen, you realize, well, you know, if I'd become like this despicable ogre on the television, then kind of it would have sort of, I don't know, I think it might have affected, but you know. But when I came back on season six recently, you know, Mark Guggenheim said, "Manu, we're gonna do that thing that you've been talking about. We're going to bring the character around, and when Oliver arrives, the Mirakuru is worn off completely. And you've got a son, and he's got a son, and the two of you are going to find healing." And that word for me always, if you're playing a villain, is so important in storytelling. It's the moment that most people forget about when they write modern day stories about villains and heroes. And I think when that goes into society, we tend to teach society that there's good guys and bad guys. You know, and this is something that whenever it's shifted, whenever they make that step to make it, you know, say it was a war film and it was like a German soldier was there and you're going like, oh, that's the, you know, hey, shoot the kids and do all this sort of stuff. You know, that one character who can step out of that, say, German military and meet an American soldier and the two of them go like, pull out the photos out of their wallets and go, oh, here's my children. Oh, here's my children. You know, oh, who's the guy leading you? Oh, Eisenhower or whatever. And oh, Hitler or whatever. You know, then forget all that stuff they're getting pushed into. Just go back to the people and what the essential meaning of life is. You know, it's when you can take a bad guy and allow him still to live and bring a healing. And I thought this last sort of element that we got to play on Arrow with season 6 and 7 achieved that. And I think the audience did a huge sigh of relief because they kind of wanted to be healed themselves.
Yeah.
I think they were torn as well.
I think so. I think they started out loving you and didn't want to hate you, and they were relieved when they got to again. I, for one, think you did a phenomenal job doing it. We are just about out of time. Manu has some more signings to go to and other appearances to do.
But we didn't get any questions.
I know we didn't get any questions from the audience. Let's do one.
Who's Freddy got
have a question? I wonder, when you were doing research for the role, at what point did you find a surprise with Deathstroke and get excited when you read Wolfman and Prince's work?
Well, you know, When I got the role, I think the next Comic-Con that I went to, I asked one of the vendors, who was like one of the big comic book vendors, you know, whether he could get me some of the, you know, the Deathstroke things, and he said I can get every one of them. And so he did, and he gave me the whole supply of Deathstroke, right from Teen Titans, George Perez's first image of Deathstroke under the tree, and his sons killed the Teen Titans, you know, Jericho, you know, so there was that right up to the, well, not Tony Daniels hadn't started going then. So, but you know, when I looked at those comic books, you know, I could see the type of person that was written by Marv Wolfman. You know, once they started the Shadow Love Triangle on the island and the kind of Mirakuru infused kind of Othello kind of thing, you know, then I knew we were going to have to, you know, venture out of Marv's kind of guy into a kind of the television program's version of Slade Wilson, but I just always wanted to kind of like not make the I don't know, I guess like the madness irredeemable, because the comic book goes on, you know what I mean? And like the movie's now going to come to screen, and you know, it'll be interesting to see whether they make Joe stab somebody's mother, and it won't happen. It won't happen. They'll just make that Deathstroke, you know, power play now. You know, but you know, it's, you know, even though I say this, like it might sound as though when these things came up, it was just at the time it was challenging because it brought new shades, new tones to the character that you had to deal with at the same time reading the comic books and trying to stay in that character, you know. But I think there's been Superman ones where there's evil Supermans, and there was even that black Spider-Man, you know. So you just got to inhabit those characters when suddenly you get the next script and it says, okay, you're going all the way over here, you know. So... But it was, you know, it's been a great journey. I think that, you know, I think that when the film's done, you know, there might be space again. You know, I don't think Mark Guggenheim mentioned, you know, that you have two sons, not just one, in the last episode. Only for that, you know, that comment was made in the final scene. You know, he wanted me to say, I have another son.
Another story.
Yeah, exactly. There's another story to tell, exactly. So, you know, without, you know, presuming or assuming or anything like that, this storyline's there that they've seeded, you know, and we'll see what happens after the film. I think right now, and rightfully so, Warner Brothers just wants the Joe Manganiello film version of Deathstroke to be the focus, you know, and I know that online there was some debate from fans saying, like, oh, you know, how come, we'd like to see, and then that's just the opinionation of fans and whatnot. And, I know Joe personally, I've met him a couple of times, and he's such a wonderful guy and such a hardworking actor that, I've got nothing but, a feeling of, I hope I walk into the cinema and I see him do an amazing job. The only thing is his grey matter. I think Slade's just this great grey matter character, and it is. It's like going and watching an Othello performance on stage. How much is the actor willing to give is really what I think is it will be the determination of any great Deathstroke will be, just at what point are you going to say, in this grey matter, how much is he going to hurt? How much is he going to go through to try to, defend some sense of honor, some sense of, soldier code, some sense of, because that's to me is what Deathstroke's emotional color is. He's somewhere right in the middle of the gold and the black. He's that line, slipping one side or the other. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We're going to close really quick with a couple of rapid-fire questions, just a little fun, off-topic kind of things, see what Manu has to say, and then we're going to let him get back to work. You ready?
Mm.
Coke or Pepsi?
Fanta.
Dogs or cats?
Oh, my
Neither?
God, why am I stuck
no
on
dogs or cats?
Dogs or cats? I love them. I love them both. I love them both.
Coffee or tea?
I will say coffee, but I should say tea.
The last question, Superman or Batman?
I think I'd rather fly.
All
Superman,
right.
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Manu, very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate
you being here.
Thanks,
see you all weekend. Manu's going to be here all weekend. He'll be signing
autographs. Thank you.
Doing photo ops. And I think you have a panel coming up.
I do, today.
Sometime this weekend. I should have memorized the schedule for all 30 people and didn't, but we'll definitely see him later. Thanks so
much.
Nicole's going to take you back.
Thank you.